This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. Over the past 5 years or more, cancer researchers have made significant strides into finding a cure to the disease, which claims 8.2 million lives a year. Dr. James Allison is chair of the Immunology Department and director of immunotherapy at the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas. It's one of the world's leading research institutions in the sector. Dr. Allison participated at a recent Vatican conference on regenerative medicine, where he spoke to me about promising new therapies in the treatment of cancer. Researchers like Allison are excited about the potential of the body's own immune system to combat and beat cancer, and are developing new and personalized therapies to make it more effective. I asked him what was his wow moment in his research.
The wow moment of my research was actually, well, there were two of them. One of them was about 1994, 95, when we'd worked out this negative signaling pathway, a molecule that stops T cells, the soldiers of your immune system that protect you from bacteria and things, and can also attack cancer. But we figured out that there were some breaks there that people hadn't known about before, and I had the idea that if we disable those breaks, it might allow the immune system to more effectively deal with cancer cells and maybe eliminate them. And then we had begun to apply that to animal models and of cancer, and show that we could cure many different kinds of cancers in mice, which made a lot of sense because the treatment that we had was treating the immune system, not the cancer cell. And so this finally, in about 2000, went into the clinic and worked in people as well, and again, in several different kinds of cancer. And I think the second aha moment was when I met the first patient that had actually been cured by this treatment, and met her when she had been declared a year free of melanoma for a year. And then sort of kept up with her over the years, and she's had two children since then, and now grown up their full life. She was about 24 years old when she was diagnosed and was basically given only a few months to live. And so that was a really strong moment.
How many cancers do you think will be able to be treated with these new kinds of therapies?
Well, in theory, all cancers should respond because... The drugs in this class now, there are several now, actually target the immune system, not the cancer, so the cancer doesn't matter. In reality, though, there are limitations. Seems to depend on two things. One is how many mutations there are, that is, how many things there are. The immune system attacks, in the case of cancer, seems to mostly attack proteins that are generated by mutations, some of which are involved in the cancer process itself. And those that have a lot of those are more susceptible kinds of cancer. They have a lot of them. They're caused by sunlight, for example, melanoma. Mutation in the skin or lung cancer caused by smoking, by the carcinogens in tobacco. Those are, respond very well. But when you get down to other kinds of cancers that have lower mutations, they respond less well. And the other thing is tumors that have a lot of T cells in them. Tumors tend to differ. Some have, we call them hot tumors or immunogenic tumors, that already have T cells in them respond very well. Those that don't, we have to learn how to drive the T cells in. But I think that as we study it more, we're facing a different situation than we were 5 years ago, when the question was, would this sort of therapy work at all? Now we know it does. It does work. It cures people. A fraction of people right now, but definitely there are people that are 10 years, 15 years beyond treatment now, that are not being treated anymore, that are basically cured, if you can use that word. And our job now is just to figure out how to make it more effective, not to show that we can do it, but how to make it more effective and bring it to more patients with more different kinds of cancer. Knowing the rules now, I think that I'm optimistic that we're going to be able to move this fast.
You heard Pope Francis speak and Vice President of the U.S. Joe Biden speak about the need to make these new therapies more accessible to the people who need them. What kind of strategies can be put in place for organizations, institutions like yours to work towards that goal of making these therapies more accessible to people all around the world?
I think the main challenge in making these therapies available to people around the world is one of education, one of just letting people know that there are these things that are available, because I think a lot of people have no idea. They think that cancer is a death, you know, decree, and it's not at all for many kinds of cancer now. So I think that's the first step, to make people aware, and then to disseminate the message to community doctors and in the more developed countries, to the community doctors, and let them know these things are there and encourage them to learn how to use them properly and treat people. I think we've got right now these kinds of therapies that we work with, these immunological therapies, are actually quite expensive, and so something's got to be done to bring the cost down to make it wide, generally available to people. Although there are some exceptions that were discussed this morning with vaccines for human papillomavirus, for example, which could prevent a large number of cervical cancers, head and neck cancers and everything. And you can treat children, both boys and girls, when they're 13 years old or so, with these vaccines, which are 99% plus effective and really eliminate or minimize the risk of those kinds of cancers. And that, again, needs education, but those things are ready to go, and they're not very expensive at all. We just need to get more active in using those.
Is it also going to take convincing pharmaceutical companies, philanthropists, that they need to do more as well? I was speaking to one of your colleagues earlier who was saying that one of the problems with the funding that many institutions are getting today is that the foundations, the philanthropists, want to see a specific team's results, whereas working together and sharing information can sometimes be a problem if you have different institutions involved in the research. There's no way to quantify how much each individual team is achieving.
That is a problem, because there has to be credit for people's career development and everything. But I think the academic world and the pharmacological world are changing a bit, and that there is more emphasis being placed on teamwork now. Between institutions, too. I think that organizations like Stand Up to Cancer and the new Parker Institute for Cancer Immunotherapy are both, their whole proviso is that they'll bring teams together at different institutions, which can really spark rapid advancement by bringing people with different specialties, different knowledge, different interests together, with very, not huge teams, but, 6, 12, 20 people or something like that to work together. And again, picking where the expertise is and pulling the teams together, rather than just having everybody doing their own little thing and having it percolate up through the literature and other people seeing it and say, I'd like to work with you on that. It's moving down. And it's changing, but it's changing quickly.
When will we be able to see a cure, a definitive cure for cancer?
Well, I don't think there's going to be a definitive cure for cancer. We can already see a fraction of people with certain kinds of cancer being cured. And we need to work on those and get the frequency up higher. And just it's really case by case to try to learn those people who respond and those who don't, and figure out what it is about those who don't respond. So there's not going to be one cure. It's going to be many, many different treatment types depending on the kind of cancer and the individual. But I think we're making a lot of progress towards curing some cancers, at least.
And there has also been talk about getting more people involved in clinical trials.
Yeah, it's really a shame that people go to major academic cancer centers where the best minds are, where the new things are being tried, and only about 5% of the patients actually go on to trials. And that's a shame, because we could gain so much more information if more people would take these experimental treatments.
But is the problem funding again?
No, it's not funding so much as it is, I think, attitudes. I think people don't quite understand trials. There are rumors, for example, that they're placebos, so you'll either get the treatment or you won't get the treatment. Maybe that's not a problem anymore. That doesn't ever happen anymore. You get the standard of care versus the new drug, so it'll never be you get nothing. But I think some people don't understand that. And it's just, again, it's an education process. Things have changed since 10 years ago about how they're done.
You're here in the Vatican. It's first time you've probably met Pope Francis.
Exactly, meet him. I saw him up on the stage, but I was still.
What has been your impression so far of this conference, of hearing Pope Francis speak to you and also Vice President Biden?
Well, as far as the Vatican goes, I really, until I was coming to this meeting, had no idea that there was this pontifical committee or health and culture, I guess it's called. And I was really pleased to learn that there is interest at the Vatican in these areas of science to try to bring health issues to the front, including stem cell work and these new cancer therapies. And I'm really also thrilled that that Vice President Biden came here. I think that there has not been sufficient effort devoted by the U.S. government for cancer research for the last decade or more. The support's really been declining, and Vice President Biden's efforts indicate that hopefully that attitude has changed, and that there will be new directed efforts towards all the way across the spectrum, from immunology to molecular therapies to data sharing to big data, and just looking at the whole thing as a integral enterprise that needs to be addressed that way to really conquer this problem.
Dr. James Allison is chair of the immunology department and director of immunotherapy at the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston, Texas.